Hey guys, Zal here.
And the Grizz.
And just before we start the episode, in fact, before we even start the intro to the episode, we have a special announcement. We got an
Yay, listeners,
email! Who wrote
listen,
us an
listeners,
email us?
email.
Sorry?
I don't know, I was just making up a theme song.
Yeah, so yes, we've got an email from Simon Gallagher. So we will read that out right now. So this was in regards to series two. It starts off, and you can tell that I'm going to enjoy this. Hi, Chris and Grizz.
Ah, Chris, my
I
favorite.
think you might listen to some of your other podcasts.
Huh, maybe.
Maybe. But anyway, that aside. Fair enough, honest mistake. Series 2 was an interesting series in Robot Wars. One of the first things I noticed was that, unless I'm forgetting something, all the robots now have something of an active weapon, whilst in Series 1 many of them had static spikes as weapons. Presumably this is a rule that the producers brought in. Maybe this is more of a Series 3 review, but I'm glad that the Gauntlet and Trials leave after this series. Robot Wars should be about wars, so it sucks that some of the robots never even get to fight, especially if they can't measure the distance of the Gauntlet constantly. Also, Kill-A-Lot is carrying some robots across the course and pushing others back. Also, he wanted to remind us that, did we know that PS de Resistance was recreated in 2019?
The answer at the time of reading this email was no.
For you.
For me.
I,
But I
on the
feel.
other hand, am always following Pièce de Résistance.
Why don't we take the email from the top and we'll kind of.
Well, if I just finish the email first.
Oh, sorry.
Love the podcast. Keep up the great work. Thank you, we will.
We will. And I
Yes,
appreciate it.
me, Chris, and the Grizz.
That. Maybe he thinks I'm called the Chris.
We should make me the Grizz.
Yeah, I don't think you'd be able to pull that off.
I know, it would be really hard work to dumb myself down.
That's true.
I'd have to look down five siders or something.
Hey, let's face it, you're the brains of the operation. I'm just the muscle.
I don't know which one of us is more screwed then, if that's the case. So we'll start with the first part, which is the active weapons discussion. Now, I think there are a couple of robots that have static spikes this series.
I remember Phoenix didn't have any active weapons. He just had a lot of speed and a lot of sharp, pointy bits.
I think they had drills, but I know Altorc didn't have any active weapons, and Rottweiler certainly didn't.
Yeah, definitely.
What happened? Now, there is at one point there is a rule about active weapons, but that's not until Series 7, and that's a controversy all of its own. So we're not going to really discuss that,
Till we get
but
there.
suffice to say that certain robots, particularly ones named Stinger, really didn't like that rule being brought into place.
Yeah, I think they should have been an exception to the rule.
The second you start having exceptions, you're kind of asking for trouble.
Well, I mean, it is a slippery slope, but in a technical, like, you could put it down to a technicality of, okay, they don't have an active weapon, but the way that they use their robot makes it an active weapon in a
Well,
way.
we'll do, we'll talk about that when we get to it. I think it's a topic that merits its own separate discussion.
Yeah, I reckon we could probably do an episode on just talking about this.
Yeah. So, actually, one episode might even just be the controversies of season six.
Oh, yeah.
And
Yeah, a lot.
we certainly could have the controversy of season seven as a separate episode. And the controversies of season three is an episode.
And I think we should do all of that. Yeah, like, oh yeah, the controversies of season six, you know, like how Tony.
You know, I've got to beep that.
I know.
So, the other part of this was talking about the gauntlets and the trials, which, based on our kind of summary, we kind of broadly agreed. Well, I don't think we actually discussed. Do you like the fact that this is the last time we see the trials and the gauntlet?
Well, I was about to say yes and no, because I might be one of those very few people that very much enjoyed the gauntlet every week.
I like the gauntlet as an idea. I think it takes too much time up in the episode.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. Like, see if in season three, like, obviously because like season three and four, they still do a few games every now and again between heat episodes. See if they just had people run the gauntlet for not any real reason, well,
a timing challenge almost.
Yeah, like whoever done it the quickest wins. Blah blah blah, like that kind of thing. Like, that would have been fun. It wouldn't have taken up much time because there'd been one person running the gauntlet every week, and obviously that's the kind of thing where you could just record that in bulk.
Yeah. I do agree with Simon about the skill lot thing.
Yes.
That was really frustrating in a few different situations, particularly in episode one.
And I very much agree with Simon on the fact that they can't judge the distances.
Absolutely not.
But it does bring up the other good point, which is the you know, kind of counteraction on what I was saying was like, yes, I missed the gauntlet and the trials to an extent. I mean, some of them were a bit, you know, boring, but what he brings up there is there were some robots that didn't get to fight in season two, and then for that matter, never got a fight at all because some teams never came back with the robot from season two.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, I know I always kind of talk about Phoenix as, like, kind of one of my front runners for one of the coolest robots that's never came back. Like, imagine it came back in season three. I reckon it could have potential to do pretty well.
Absolutely. So, finally, the final bit of news, and something which you're telling me that you didn't know about.
No.
PS de Resistance.
Yes, Mark II.
Yes, Mark II. So there is I believe it's a featherweight robot.
Mm-hmm. It's a smaller bot.
It's been bought by the original team captain, Colin Scott, and adapted to PS de Resistance Duh. And it has two weapons. Firstly, it has a spatula flipper. And obviously, the most devastating weapon of all, the squinty wedge.
Of course.
The squinty scoop of Doom.
Which done so much damage, like knock down a wall and not knock over barrels.
Yes, the wonky snow shovel is back.
And wonkier than ever.
We should have Colin Scott on the show.
I really want to see if I can find a couple of PS de Resistance fights now.
Yes. Well, we know that PS de Resistance has had at least four fights.
And has won some of them.
I know.
Incredible.
Better than other shitbot sequels have done.
Name four.
What?
Name four.
Name four what?
Name four sequel robots that done worse.
Hardvark 2.
Nice.
Cassius 2.
Okay. Plunderstorm.
Plunderstorm.
Oish.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? It's not our next season. I really can't wait to get into season three, though.
Oh, it's a delightful train wreck.
I do like the idea of doing an entire episode just on the controversy, though. That's a good shout.
We might well do that. Anyway, thank you very much, Simon, for taking the time out to email us.
Yes, please continue to as well, if you like.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you very much.
And if any of you want to follow Simon's lead,
you can email rotrpodcast@gmail.com. That's ROTR, Romeo Oscar Tango Romeo, podcast@gmail.com. Or you can tweet us @podcastROTR.
You can also get in touch with us on our Facebook, which is Rise of the Robots.
And finally, just a reminder that Rise of the Robots is held under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 4.0 International License. Enjoy the episode.
You're listening to Rise of the Robots with me, The Grizz.
And me, Alan.
And today we are doing the coverage of the 1994 Robot Wars US Tournament.
So yes, we are kicking off Series 3.
Woohoo.
And we're going right back to the very, very start. The first ever Robot Wars event in 1994.
What were you doing in 1994?
Being a 3-year-old. And then a 4-year-old later on.
Well, this was recorded in August, so I would have been 4 years old.
I would have been 3 at the time then.
Oh, there you go. I did not know I was older than you.
Not by much,
but you know. But I tell you what we weren't doing in 1984 was watching Robot Wars.
And to be fair, it would have been very hard to watch Robot Wars at the time, because it's very hard to get any footage from this tournament.
Yes.
In fact, combined, I think the amount of video we've managed to get hold of is about 35 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's including two random documentary type things.
Like one documentary, one promo package that does say throughout this 1 hour program that this 1 hour program never surfaced.
Yep.
And then the other two helpful ones are highlight packages, which is just a dude wandering about with a video camera.
Yep.
And what was the other one? And the other one was like a kind of documentary on a TV show.
Yep.
And you say like the amount of footage that we have is around 35 minutes, but to be honest, even you condense that down, because there are about like 4 matches that get shown about 4 times each throughout all of these videos, including, to use his full name, Creepy Fuck Andy Royd getting smashed in the face by a pendulum, is in every single video at least 3 times.
Yeah. So we'll get on to the actual event format. So there are 3 weight classes: heavyweight, middleweight, and lightweight. And then there are 2 battle royals at the end.
Like melees?
I think there's one, tell a lie, there's one battle royal at the end that is everyone who is still standing.
Yeah. So weight classes don't count. So there's lightweights, middleweights, and heavyweights all in the same ring at once.
So the arena is very different from anything we've seen. You can tell that this is very, very early on.
Oh, yes.
Because the first of all, it's set up almost a bit like a wrestling event.
Yep.
There is a barrier between the robots and the seating areas that are about the height of the seating areas. There's a TV screen on one side, and there is
no plexiglass.
No protection above chest height.
Your waist, if you stand up.
Yeah, your waist if you stand up.
And you can actually see at some points people leaning over the barricade and touching the robots.
Yes, which is quite terrifying.
I don't know about you. I don't want to put my fucking hand anywhere near the master or the Painmore or... Yeah, no, you're alright with that. So, the first video we're going to look at is the highlight packages.
part one, obviously, more specifically, where it starts off by showing a video of this giant fucking robot wandering around the car park.
Yes, this walking robot, which is quite impressive.
For the time.
For the time, definitely.
Very impressive.
And then it shows us the arena, so as well as the barriers, there are a few weapons of
the hazards. The arena,
hazards. So there is two nets of doom.
Yep, definitely.
Which come down and swat upon robots.
Yeah.
There are several planks of wood that are sweeping around.
They're not planks of wood. They're like plastic, because they bend.
Yeah. And then there is a morning star swinging around.
The pendulum.
Yes.
Yes.
They introduce virtually every robot that's at the event.
I'm just going to very quickly run down them all. So first is the Secura Special.
Which, it looks like a roller skate with a turret on top of it.
Yep.
And that turret has fireworks in it.
Isn't there also like the tiniest little saw you ever did see on that turret?
Yes, there is.
Up next is the creepy fuck Andy Royd.
This is the last thing you see before you die. It is a tricycle with a child on it. A robot child with a fixed face.
But the mouth and eyes also move and blink, and I hate it and want it to die.
Next up is the South Bay Mauler.
I mean, everyone knows the Mauler, but this is the first edition of the Mauler.
So it's half an upturned bucket with a bar spinning around the top of it with flowers.
With two maces on it. And so if any of them fell off...
Yep, that would be fun. There's also a camera bot, which we never see footage from.
Yes, that's true. There's the Master, which everybody knows is probably the... arguably the most famous of the very early US robots.
Now, this version of the Master is slightly different. So, in future versions of the Master, and even so far as the next tournament in 1995...
Yes,
the Master has two weapons, which are a flipper and the iconic circular saw. And then it is on two
big
wheels
wheels.
Are balls for wheels.
It does just look like a big black penis.
But the one difference is this time, instead of that, basically, it's still the two balls and the saw, except there's a wedge, there's a pair of forked wedges underneath the saw.
Yeah, to kind of get in under it, get to his meaty parts.
Next up is Doolittle, which is...
appropriate, because I don't think it's done very much.
It's effectively a tank bot, it's tank tracks.
With all of his exposed wiring on top.
There's the Beetle,
which is a fucking wooden box with a metal arm sticking out of it.
And it can lift things up with a spike on a stick.
There's Slow-Mo, which is
a wedge bot.
A thing. And Julie Bot, which is the sister of fucking Andy Royd, and also a genuine fucking nightmare fuel.
So, yeah, so Julie Bot is this wedge, really high up, so it doesn't actually work as a wedge.
Yeah, it just kind of pokes in your face.
It has a spike on the back of it, and worst of all, it has a fucking doll's head!
Like, detached doll's head that speaks. That actually speaks.
Yeah, you get to see it in the documentary.
Don't like it.
I don't like it.
Nope. Don't like it.
Next up is...
the Ramfire 100.
Which is... it looks like a kind of toy car. It's also got a turret on top of it.
Well, it's like a tank, I suppose.
Yes.
But it's like painted like it's on fire.
It's painted like a car, but it looks like a tank.
Up next, there is Spiny Norman and Zomo.
So Spiny Norman is a...
It's
a hedgehog, basically. It's
porcupine-y hedgehog kind of...
It's like a remote control car with a metal box with tons of nails put through the top of it.
It looks like Pinhead from Hellraiser, but if it was
demented,
put on some wheels.
And then Zomo is
a giant metal breast.
Yes, I'm wondering if the idea is that it's meant to be a full body spinner, but
it doesn't look like it.
It kind of looks like someone's put a remote control car and put a dog bowl over the top of it.
Yeah, I put down like upside down salad bowl.
Uh-huh.
But that's really about it. Next up is, we can't remember this one's name. What a bizarre name that robot has.
I believe, I'll look this up. I think it's one of the heavyweight robots.
Wait, what? Are you saying that's not the name of the robot? We can't remember this one's name?
No, I don't think that's its name.
No, I think it is.
Well, by process of elimination, it's Pain Mower, TMZ, nope. Which it's not.
It's not Pain Mower.
X1.
It's not X1.
Or Tiny Tim.
I guess it's Tiny Tim.
Yeah, no, it is. It's Tiny Tim. It is Tiny Tim. So Tiny Tim looks like a forklift.
Well, no, for the rest of this episode, I'm going to call it Free Shipping Junior.
Yes, that is basically what it looks like.
Because then we go into the next robot and it says, or this one's, which is X1. Clearly X1.
That's X1.
Or is that Tiny Tim?
No, that's not Tiny Tim. That's a lightweight. I believe that is,
for the rest of this episode, I am going to call it Ginsu Jr. Because it's all wheels.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, yeah, X1 is a six-wheel drive robot with a flipping arm that has a spike on it.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty decent looking robot by the time, like actually yep. A pretty full robot. And then it shows again Ginsu Jr., who has four saw blades as wheels and a giant see-through box.
Mm-hmm.
And then a big pokey thing.
Yep.
Then after that we get Omega Ex Machina, the Pain Mower,
which is a full body spinner.
Not exactly. It's got a big propeller blade on top of it, but
yep.
The actual shell doesn't spin.
It's actually not too dissimilar to the Mola. And then you've got
Minus Zero.
Team Minus Zero, which is TMZ, which has both a heavyweight and a lightweight robot.
Yeah, and it just looks like a giant pillow, because it doesn't have any weapons.
Yep.
Then after that, a cameraman goes up to the medical staff that are there and was like, so are you expecting any injuries today? And the woman just kind of goes, cut finger. And it's like, yeah, cut finger.
I don't think people have quite figured out how incredibly dangerous these machines are yet.
Evidently not. Considering, you know, the Mauler spinning about with his giant fucking maces and people sticking their hands in the arena.
I mean, it is. You can tell it's a time before health and safety.
Exactly. No one was afraid of anything back in the day. So, we start to get into what is titled The Face-Off, which I assume are the battles. No full battles were actually shown, but you get like snippets of stuff like Spiny Norman versus Zomo, and this yep. This is where you see Zomo in action, and you realise it's not a full body spinner, it is literally just
a bowl with a control car.
Yeah, and Spiny Norman is just a pokey thing.
Which, to be fair, Spiny Norman does, well, we know what happens in this fight, because Spiny Norman wins.
Yeah.
The documentary seems to imply it's a draw for some reason.
Yeah, but Spiny Norman literally knocks the shell off of Zomo.
Yeah.
As displayed here. The music that this person chose to play over these highlights is fucking garbage.
And then we get to the battle, which is Andy Royd versus Satura Special.
To use his full name, Creepy Fuck Andy Royd.
Yep.
Versus Satura Special?
Yep.
And this is, again, where we go back to, you know, health and safety, because Satura Special is firing fucking fireworks.
No, that, I think Satura Special might be that robot that had the saw blade wheels, because it's cut massive tracks into the floor.
I don't think it is. No, it's not.
But look at the floor.
Well, what is happening with the floor there? Like, he's literally making, like, snail trails around the place.
At one point, Andy Roy attacks one of the Nets of Doom.
And almost kills itself, which I wish it did.
And then... eventually... It kind of...
It's just so creepy, I don't like it.
Its weapon appears to be a can.
Yeah, like a kind of entanglement weapon.
Yeah.
But... I don't know, I don't like it. It's very... gross.
But Andy Roy picks up the win.
There is, in one of these videos, like, the music dies at one point, and then you hear, like, somebody shouting, and I think, like, the kind of part of the gimmick of that is, like, the driver of Andy Roy starts doing his voice while it's driving around.
Yep.
And then... because, like, you hear people laughing, and it's like, I really hope that is the driver doing that and not Andy Roy actually has a voice box in it.
Yep. So the next battle is Julie Bot versus Slow-Mo.
I don't like it.
So the Julie Bot is just kind of chasing round Slow-Mo.
It does have that big spiky weapon, but...
At one point, Slow-Mo just kind of goes dead.
Yep. And then... so Juliebot goes to reverse the spike right into him, but right as it's about to connect, one of those little annoying flappers gets in the way.
Yeah.
Juliebot just goes right into the flapper.
And then we come up to the final lightweight first. Sorry, I should just make clear, all these battles were in the lightweight tournament, as is this last battle, which is Painmower, which has a massive spinning blade.
Oh yeah, I'm surprised it didn't take off like a fucking helicopter.
Versus TMZ Light. So, Painmower's weapon does seem to kill TMZ, but it's not the most powerful weapon.
Not really, no.
So you watch the fight.
What's going on here? Oh, someone was on fire.
Oh yeah, robot's on... Just before that, you see a robot on fire.
I think it was Juliebot?
No, it wasn't. No? That's Slow-Mo.
Ah.
So yeah, you've got
the pain mower and a giant pillow.
And pain mower, the smoke coming off it, that weapon is going at some speed.
Look,
you are just sitting there going, if that flies off, that's taking someone's
fire. If that done an apex and fucking detached from that robot, yeah, that's Robot Wars would not be a fucking thing today.
No.
I'd just say that, like, 1984 was lucky that they didn't kill anybody.
Absolutely. So the next fight we get to is Andy Royd. Is creepy fucker Andy Royd.
Thank you.
Versus Spiny Norman. And the footage it shows is basically Spiny Norman gets stuck on the can of creepy fucker Andy Royd and gets dragged around.
I mean, you can't argue with results. It worked.
They show, for some reason, Satura Special versus Zomo.
Zomo.
Which seems to have no consequences other than...
Firing
a firework into the crowd!
Like, almost took out the fucking cameraman that was recording that.
Hi guys, Alan.
And the Chris.
Here with a slight break from the main show. So thanks to the people about whom this podcast would not be possible. Firstly, to Greg Watt, who designed the Rise of the Robots logo, before I butchered it slightly.
Also want to give a quick shout out to Technolax, who do our theme song, Master Machine. You can check out Technolax on YouTube or their website at technolax.com to listen to all of their royalty-free tracks.
And yet, next we randomly cut to the heavyweights, and it is Tiny Tim versus Ramfire 1000.
Ramfire.
Both robots kind of dodging around, trying to hit with weapons that don't hit.
It's just like, Ramfire's like kind of spike, and it's like, meh, meh.
Yeah.
And then like Tiny Tim, or Free Shipping Junior, Flipper never seems to work.
Yep.
At any point, so it's just a forklift just aimlessly driving around, while Ramfire's slow spike just kind of comes out like a dog's erection.
Yep.
I mean, that's gross that that's like what I can relate it to, but it's kind of the only thing it kind of looks like. It does actually knock off the fucking chassis, or kind of shell of Tiny Tim at one point, I suppose, so.
And at one point, Tiny Tim gonna get tangled up in the mace as well.
Yep. And then it just kind of weirdly cuts to, like, photographs, like it's a fucking... It's showing you, like, highlights of a WWE pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Where it's just sound and photos. It's very weird.
Yep.
But, yeah, it's... I want to hope that maybe in the next fight, or the next event, maybe Special doesn't have the fireworks anymore, because that's fucking terrifying.
So next up is the is the Beetle versus Doolittle. So the Beetle, as we mentioned, is this robot made of wood.
Yep, it's literally just a wooden box. But then has this big fucking metal, like, grabbing arm, and it almost seems as if, like, it ran out of money after it built the arm, and it's like, well, better use this arm for something. Build it out of wood!
So it's a random clip. Now, the Beetle does win, though you have no indication of how or when or why or...
Or who.
Or who. Yep.
But, yeah, Doolittle seems to... Doolittle.
Yep. So next up is TMZ Heavy versus The Master.
Master! Master! Master of robots and pulling the strings! Cutting your dick off and...
Well, TMZ barely moves in this fight.
Yeah, this didn't do much better than the other version of the robot that they have. It, again, just looks like a giant pillow with a couple of bars on it. Like, nothing of note.
Yep. So Master just attacks with the saw and picks up the victory.
Mm-hmm.
We next cut to the Beetle versus the Master.
Oh, yes. I was not happy to see this result.
Yep, so Beetle versus the Master. Basically, you find out later, Beetle's weapon actually stopped working.
Uh-huh.
So even though the Master tears strips of wood off of the Beetle is able to take the hits...
Surprisingly.
And basically starts to push into the Master, eventually pushing it against the wall and picking up a pinfall victory.
Yes.
Now, this is one of the weird things with early Robot Wars. Now, they get rid of this by BattleBots, but there seems to be some rule about pinfalls.
Yes.
Which I believe... is something that you discussed in the interview that you had.
I did.
Where the... Effectively, one of the ways that you could win the fight was by pinning your opponent.
Yeah.
And it's not quite clear how exactly you pin them.
So, from the interview that I had, that we will be hearing excerpts of over the up-and-coming episodes, depending on what the events we cover... myself and a roboteer who actually participated in the 96 and 97 Robot Wars told us that the pinning aspect was you hold a robot against the wall for 30 seconds and then you are given the opportunity to pull yourself away to show that you're still active, and then that counts as a pinfall and you win from that, which is, you know, a very dismal way to win.
Yeah, it's not exactly the most exciting.
Yeah, could you imagine fucking Tornado? Like, being in this Robot Wars and all you need to do is just drive with a lot of power up against the wall. It's like, oh, man!
Absolutely.
I mean, that's almost as cheating as...
We'll get to that.
It's not close enough!
We'll get to that. Anyway...
This, the clips that they show of the Master versus the Beetle goes on for a long time, though, and it's, like, it's arguably quite an interesting fight, like, considering how much you get to see of it, but this was well before the time where, you know, like, a decent time limit was given on,
some of these. I think it was a 5-minute fight length.
Yeah, and then the melee at the end apparently went for, like, 10 minutes.
It was basically until there was one robot moving.
Yeah.
Which apparently seemed to be decided by battery, if nothing else. So we finally get on to the final of the heavyweight, and it's Beetle, which now has antlers.
For some reason.
Versus Ramfire.
Ramfire.
Because there's only six robots in the tournament.
Yeah.
So
why is there not three in the final? And then... Right.
Beetle gets caught on the side, and the team start pushing it down as Ramfire comes to attack it.
Yeah, there was like literally one point where Beetle ended up against the wall, and then Ramfire came in with the turret pointed up and firing its fucking weapon as like one dude leant over the guardrail.
And you actually see him tell off the robot.
Yeah, he's like, wait. And it's like, it's not the robot that you need to fucking do that to.
Yeah. And then to end the first highlight video, the walking robot is back. We don't see it on screen, but Ramfire wins the tournament.
Okay.
Meaning that Ramfire is the first ever heavyweight Robot Wars champion.
Wow! Don't know if I can make that sound more sarcastic.
So we don't see the rest of the fighting tournament.
No.
However, I can go through the results here.
Yes.
So, whilst we did not see it, Juliebot defeated the Pain Mower. And then the Juliebot and Andy Roy faced off with each other in Graham's nightmare. With the Juliebot.
Whose nightmare?
With the Grizz's nightmare.
Says her my goddamn name.
I'm sorry. Your cat has decided now. This is time to sit on my laptop and me.
Literally on the laptop. See, this is the kind of thing that we need to put up with when we record these episodes is Mr. Fat Cat just comes in and just fats all over the place.
Ow.
Does he claw on you?
Yes.
That's what he does when he's happy.
Why? Why are you doing this, cat?
Fat boy.
Anyway, the Juliebot coming out on top.
Nope.
And then finally, the middleweight... tournament. The middleweight final. X1 versus the South Bay Mark.
The tournament that was also the final. It was also the whole tournament.
Yes, and the South Bay Mauler loses to X1. X1 is your first middleweight champion.
Ah. So moving on to the heavyweight finals.
No, we've already done the heavyweight final.
You already know what happened, because we already told you.
Yes.
Take two.
And then we get on to the next two tournaments.
Yep.
One of which is the...
Escort,
which is weird. The only thing you need to know about the Escort, really, is the House Robot.
Yes, House Robot.
Which is a butt plug.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, butt plug for an elephant, maybe. It's a massive thing. It's a giant cone with an over-the-head... I don't know if it's meant to be an axe or a flipper weapon.
I think it's meant to be a flipper.
It's got... Instead of having a proper blade, though, it has a flippy floppy blade.
Yeah, similar to the flippy floppy things that are on the side of the arena.
Yeah.
I mean, like, make fun of it all you want, but you know what? It tosses a couple of robots about.
Yeah.
So, the Rose of the Escort, from what I can figure out, is you, the roboteer, have to escort this kind of like little white mouse robot from one side of the arena to the other without the house robot attacking it.
Mm-hmm.
And needless to say, some people do it better than others. And then there's one person that literally like suicides itself, but the little white robot makes it to the other side.
Yep. So, yeah, it's a bit random. The winners, however... Zomo manages to win the lightweight category. Omega Ex Machina,
or the Pain Mower,
wins the middleweight turn for some reason.
Okay.
So it randomly becomes a middleweight.
Yep, apparently.
And Ramfire 2000.
2000?
Which I believe is Ramfire 100.
I had it got ramped up like a lot of levels.
Yes, it won the heavyweight tournament.
Jesus, Ramfire fucking winning everything here.
Yep.
There is a bit in this video where it shows Andy Roy just completely abandoning the little mouse and just kind of driving around doing its own creepy thing.
Yep.
And then Julibot also being a creep and its little mouse mousing about. The mouse does look like a giant tampon because it has like a fucking...
Yeah, it does.
It does. There's a love. There's a butt plug. There's a tampon.
Yes.
Master looks a bit like a penis.
The best part is you've got... When you actually watch the Pain Mowers run, what it basically does is it runs right at the house robot. The house robot throws it over its head.
It looked like a fucking German suplex. It's just like, yes!
Yep. And yet somehow the mouse gets past.
Yeah, they're like that was the kind of the thing. It was just like the...
Now, here's the thing. Ramfire actually does block the house robot.
Yeah, like... So Ramfire kind of comes in, blocks the house robot, and then, like, the mouse kind of gets stuck under the net, and then you just see the house robot just trying to move the net out of the way, but I guess it kind of just snuck out the other side and got through.
Yep.
I'm gonna assume this was probably judged on, one, whether or not the robot made it to the other side, and then two, who'd done it the quickest.
Yeah.
Didn't look like many people actually succeeded, so, you know.
Yep.
And then this brings us on to the final. The final final. It brings us on to the melee. The all robot weight melee.
Yep. Which, they just go, fuck it. Let's have them all in.
Which apparently lasts for over 10 minutes.
Yep. It's really hard to tell what's going on.
And, the first thing we see is the Painmore just having a complete fit. Creepy fuck Andy Roy falls over instantly, so good, kill yourself. Julibot's being creepy.
Yeah, the Painmore gets stuck in Andy Roy's string.
Yep. Spiny Norman just looks very out of place with all these bigger bots. Ginsu Jr.'s in there. Like, the first time we've actually seen anything of him.
It looks like there's actually more than one melee match. Now I actually look at it.
Yeah, maybe there is. Yeah, because there's Zomo.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like there might be actually two. Oh well.
But basically, the final.
Because there's Spiny Norman again.
Yep.
So maybe it was just one, but like it was taken from two different angles.
Yeah.
Is what it looks like.
But I mean, by the end, basically, you've got South Bay Mauler and Tiny Tip are the only two robots that are moving.
The house robot is also in here, which is very strange.
Yeah, the house robot randomly comes in. And what happens is, South Bay Mauler hits the house robot and rips off part of its flipping mechanism.
Yeah.
And then the house robot goes, yay, I have a full body spinner now! And it flies around, swinging this weapon mechanism, and wallops into a few other robots. I actually think that takes out one of the smaller robots.
Probably, because it's the flipping arm still isn't exactly very solid, so it just kind of flops about. It just kind of flops about, kind of weirdly. But yeah, it does. I'm pretty sure it takes out one of the lightweights. Not that there was much left by the end of this. And then, kinda as the match ends, Sid Bay Mauler is declared the winner, and then they hold up Mauler in like as if it was its own trophy.
Yeah.
Which was very bizarre. Its maces fell off at one point.
At one point it's lost its weapons. It's just a bucket by this point.
Yeah. And this is when the house robot just starts slinging its broken weapon around. Ugh, dizzying. And Mauler gets the victory, and is declared the first ever Robot Wars champion, apparently, according to the documentary that we'll see in a minute.
Yep.
So they made it seem like there wasn't championship weight classes. This was the definitive who wins the whole thing.
Yep.
So clearly someone that hasn't done the research.
Hey guys, Alan here. Just taking a quick break from the podcast to let you know that if you are enjoying this podcast and you want to hear more, the whole archive is available either on your podcatcher of choice or on the Audio Boom website. Alternatively, if there is some other podcasts you would like to listen to between listening to us, there is a list published on the Robot Report of several of the most popular podcasts, a botcast list, as it's referred to on the website. We will have a link in the description of this podcast. So, on the botcast list at the Robot Report, it lists the podcast in question, a quick description about the podcast, and all the links that you can go on to access their episodes. The podcasts that are listed include Behind the Bots, Extreme Scrutiny Club, Roasting Robots, Roboteers Stand By, The Drop Zone, The Robocast, The Robot Wars History Podcast, The Shuntcast, and of course, Rise of the Robots. So if you check out that page, it will give you plenty of listening between now and your next episode of Rise of the Robots. Let's get back to the final part of this week's episode.
So the next video we'll take a look at is the official promo video.
Yep.
This one probably has the least amount of notes that I have on it.
Yep.
It does give us the official date at the beginning, being August
20th, 1994. Yep. With over 1,000 people in the audience, apparently.
Yeah, which is something I took in my notes is like, just think about that for a second. This drew over 1,000 people. We have the video on in the background and Andy Roy just filled up my TV screen.
Yep.
This drew 1,000 people on literally the name alone.
Well, I mean, wouldn't you?
Morbid curiosity, definitely, but I'm surprised like 1,000 people had that morbid curiosity.
Yep.
It is quite interesting, like, the annoying thing about this promo video is it says, this one-hour program presents 16 robotic warriors participating in the sport of the future. Where is this hour program?
Yeah, and it just shows various clips of... It does show footage of Andy Roy versus Julie Mott.
Yeah.
Though most of the footage is actually Andy Roy versus Satura Special.
And most of the footage is Andy Roy getting smacked in the face by the pendulum again.
Yes.
Which is literally every single video. And I don't get tired of watching it either because it's fucking creepy.
And at one point they interview Mark Thorpe, who's the man who created it all. And then at the very end of the footage there is the Master versus the Beetle.
Yes.
Which appears to be the fight that they are most...
Yeah, so in my notes I've got like the show X1, and this is when I was like, look, like X1 looks like one of the actual genuine nicest looking built bots.
Yep.
For 1994.
Absolutely.
They have a bit of an interview with the driver of Creepy Fuck, Andy Royd, and he keeps constantly, anytime like he's brought up, he keeps talking about Andy Royd as if it's a living being.
Yeah.
And it is very fucking creepy. Like, I don't know if it's like maybe the driver of Andy Royd done like a Chucky kind of thing and put like the soul of a child into the robot or something like that. But it's just the way that he always constantly goes on and it's like he refers to him as a him as if he's like a living being and then puts on a voice for him and all that. And it doesn't make me feel very well. This is definitely better quality material.
Yeah, better quality actual video.
Yeah.
makes you realise how big the arena actually is as well.
Yeah, it definitely shows like the length of it a lot more than the material in the highlight videos, which was obviously recorded from someone in the crowd. And then it continues to show special firing, you know, fireworks in people's faces.
Yep, which is terrifying.
Yes. There wasn't really much more to this video that we haven't already mentioned. There is
a few interview pieces with the South Bay Mall one.
Yeah, where he dangles some meat on his robot or some shit.
Yes.
And then there's a shot of X1 flipping over Mahler.
Yeah.
To show like how X1 won the middleweight melee.
Yeah.
The middleweight tournament, which was one match. And then another couple of shots of the big melee we were talking about. And that was really about it. That was probably the most useless of all the 1984 videos we had.
Yep.
But that brings us on to the final video, which was called The Next Step, which
yep.
I believe was some documentary series or some
yep.
malark.
So they start with talking to the arena director.
Uh-huh. Who kind of explains the hazards.
Yep.
As the nets and the... He calls them hydraulic flippers. They're at the sides, so...
Yep.
It's like kind of tough paper. They don't do much.
So, basically, they go through random clips of robots without naming them.
Yeah, they were very, you know, not good at naming robots during this thing. There was this point where they talk to one guy and he starts talking about radio channels.
Yep.
And he's like, oh yeah, we need to make sure that robots aren't on the same channels, because it'd be a bit rude if like all of a sudden you're controlling your robot and then someone else starts controlling it. And it's like, that's a brilliant tactic. Just change to the frequency your opponent's on and then drive it to the wall. Mm. Then change your frequency back to your robot and then and then jump in
I'm
on it.
I'm sure it's a bit more complicated.
I just assume everything's easy.
I have to say, the crowd is very much like a wrestling event.
Oh yeah.
They're as loud as that.
This is the video that shows Juliebot talking and me being awake for the past 3 days.
Yep.
And then the driver says, oh yeah, this is a decoy. And it's like, it's not like the robot itself, it's not like the robot's fighting as the one that's like gonna get distracted. I don't think
yeah.
I don't think the driver's gonna be like, oh no, a head.
Mm-hmm.
It's a human head.
So they then start focusing very specifically on James Strauss and his robot Satura Special,
uh-huh.
which is the robot with the fireworks.
Yep.
The first match it shows is the Andy Royd match.
Yeah.
And they really like the fact that Andy Royd loses its helmet when it gets hit by the pendulum.
Square
it shows that about 3 or 4 times.
Ah, oh, it's beautiful. Just smack it more.
And then they say that the match ends in a draw.
Yes.
And then it shows Zomo versus Satura Special, which Zomo defeats Satura.
Yeah, there's also there's an interview at one point where one of the roboteers even starts going on about how he wants to throw this away, as in the controller, and put a brain into the robot and have it figure out itself to either fight or die. And then this is the driver of Mahler, and then they start eating the meat that it dangles off its robot.
Yeah, they've stuck some meat onto the mace, the Morningstar maces.
But yeah, clearly the dude from Mahler has not seen the episode of A Thousand Ways to Die where someone actually done that and then the robot murdered him.
So they then do some more details of the Escort the Bot challenge. And then they hype up the House Robot.
And it's like, really? Really?
Really? Looks like a butt plug.
Butt plug.
I love that I say that. Someone's going to look up a picture of this thing and go, what the fuck are you all about?
No, I'm sure most people that look up and go, holy shit, he's right.
And then the final thing that they feature in the video is the Grand Melee.
Yep. Once again. And this is the part where they tell you that the match was over 10 minutes long and Mahler comes out the victory and is your first ever Robot Wars champion. It's like, that's not how it works.
Yeah, it's bizarre. So anyway,
it clearly seems as if they kind of glossed over the whole, there's different weight classes with different awards.
Yep, absolutely.
But with that, that is all the coverage of 1994 you're going to get, unless someone is literally sitting on the entire tournament.
Yep. So there are a few other prize winners.
Go on.
So just to recap everything. First of all, thank you to Run Amok Technologies, who are the people who provided us with this information. We'll put a link to their website if you want to check it out. Yep. And it has a full list of results for virtually every major tournament of Robot Combat up until about 2005-2006.
Oh, there it is.
So, the winners of the tournament, as we said, in the lightweight category, the victor was the Julibot.
Bleh.
In middleweight, it was X1.
Hmm.
In heavyweight, it was Ramfire 100.
Yep.
Though it appears to be Ramfire 2000 and everything else. It appears there was two melee fights. One was a lightweight melee with six competitors. And then there was eight robots in an all-weight class melee.
Oh, there you go then. So you were right, there was two.
So in the lightweight melee, Bloodletter won.
Bleh.
No idea which robot that is. Maybe that's the one with Soul Blade wheels.
Maybe.
Maybe. And the South Bay Mauler won the open event, which was every weight class. The Escort class was won by Zomo in the lightweight category. Omega Ex Machina.
The Pain Mower.
In the middleweight. And Ramfire 2000 in the heavyweight division.
Which was clearly just Ramfire 100, as we said.
Yes. The other prize winners were for Best Design, The Master.
Mm.
For the Best Engineered, Ramfire 2000.
100.
And the strangest robot was awarded to Andy Roy.
I'm sorry, who?
Andy Roy.
Who?
Creepy fucker Andy Roy.
Thank you. Well, it's been a fucking terrifying time.
Oh, there's one note left. There's one final note, which is the Julibot is controlled by a man by the name of Will Wright. Will Wright also co-founded Maxis Software. In other words, he's the man behind The Sims.
Wow. And to be honest, I don't think that Julibot actually spoke English when she was flabbering about, so maybe this was the kind of precursor to Simlish, or whatever the fuck it is they speak.
Simonian.
That's what I said.
Anyway, that brings an end to our coverage of 1994. We'll be back next week with 1995.
But I still think creepy fuck Andy Royd's going to be there, so.
Chris, what's that?
What?
Do you not hear that?
Uh-oh.
It's a tricycle.
Nope. Nope. Nope.
Oh, God!
No!
Run away!
Ah!
Wait a minute, what's that?
It's even worse! Kill it!
You
got a head!
It's a head!
They're closing in!
Ah!